From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, Iran elects a new president, but what does that mean for the U.S.? And what's up with the anti-America indoctrination in the military? Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Tuesday's edition of Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins was joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to talk about President Biden's foreign policy. To start us off, here's Iran's newly elected president, Ibrahim Raisi.
My serious proposal to the United States government is that is for them to return in an expedient manner to their commitments and do away with sanctions. In doing so, they would prove their sincerity. Regional and missile issues are not up for negotiation.
Now, he, as I mentioned there, he called on all U.S. sanctions to be lifted that have crippled the Iranian economy, accusing the U.S. of breaking its promises. Now, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about Raisi's accusation, and here's a clip of that exchange.
Jen, one more question about Iran. On Ibrahim Raisi, the new president-elect, he has said that he's accusing the U.S. of breaking promises, saying, quote, based on the nuclear deal, you were obligated to lift the sanctions and you did not fulfill your commitment. What does the president have to say about that? And then secondly, he's under U.S. sanctions for the 1988 political prisoner executions. So how do you deal with them?
Well, first, let me say that the new president will, of course, be held accountable for violations of human rights on his watch going forward. We strongly urge the Iranian government, regardless of who is in power, to release political prisoners, improve respect for human rights and fundamental freedoms for all Iranians.
With me now to talk more about the Biden administration's approach to Iran and the nuclear deal is the former U.S. Secretary of State in the Trump administration, our good friend Mike Pompeo. Mike, welcome back to the program.
Tony, it's great to be with you again. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, let's start with, I want to start with the sanctions against Raisi himself. These were personal sanctions that were put in place in 2019 during your tenure. What was the motivation for those sanctions against him?
So, Tony, there were multiple sanctions against Ibrahim Raisi. You know, you referred to him as the president. I suppose that's true. He was selected, however, not elected. By the regime, by the clerical regime. There was no process. There was no true vote there. This man is the butcher of Tehran. He was sanctioned because he had overseen the death and execution of political dissidents in the numbering in the thousands back in what's called the massacre of 1988. He is a horrific human being, and we place sanctions on him accordingly. He's also been engaged in all kinds of malign activity after that. He is truly part of the regime's kleptocracy, the theocracy. He is revolutionary in the way he thinks about Iran. And frankly, he's done a lot of damage around the world, but mostly he's done harm to the Iranian people. And we supported the Iranian people at every turn, and that's why the sanctions were put in place, Tony.
You go back to his election here, that he was anointed by the supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei. And, in fact, he's the one that put him in that supreme judicial role in which he oversaw the judiciary and the prisons in Iran.
That's right. He's clearly being put in place for a couple of reasons. One is he's a young man. He could well oversee Iranian policy for the next 20 or 30 years. The Ayatollah Khamenei is not a young man. He may well move off the stage in the next handful of years, and I think he's giving Raisi the chance to set up shop, to build out his Republican Guard credentials, to build out the revolutionary credentials, ultimately to likely be made the replacement for the supreme leader himself. That would be a horrific outcome for the Iranian people.
Let me go back to these sanctions for a moment, because this is something that in my capacity at the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, we've watched these because of human rights abuses and religious freedom abuses, which Iran is notorious for. Did you notice what the press secretary, Jen Psaki, she sidestepped the question about the personal sanctions, but that's also in keeping with what Jake Sullivan said over the weekend when he was being interviewed by Chris Wallace. He, again, deflected when it came to the personal sanctions, saying we're not going to get into those because that's ongoing negotiations. Could the Biden administration, I mean, do you think that they would put on the table these personal sanctions against him in exchange for a nuclear deal?
Tony, it seems unimaginable to me that they would do this, but I've also watched this administration follow the Obama-Biden policies down a rat hole in other places, much like this as well. So I suppose it's possible. They are clearly thinking about it and don't know what they're going to do, because you're right, now they've had at least two public opportunities to respond to that question. And importantly, at least of as this morning, you know, the State Department comments on every election in every country. It was a good election, it was a bad election, it was a medium election. They haven't said a word yet about this farce of an Iranian election. That tells you that there are very few things that they aren't prepared to sacrifice for the Holy Grail, this article of faith that is the JCPOA. And when you listen to Raisi yesterday, he heard Secretary Blinken say longer and stronger about the new deal, that it would be longer and it would be stronger. And what he said yesterday was, no way, not stronger. We're not going to talk about missiles. We're not going to talk about terror. That would be stronger. And we want you to rejoin the old deal. In other words, no longer. A clear pathway to a nuclear weapon within the next 9 years are the demands the Iranians are making. And if we hand them billions of dollars and lift sanctions on Raisi to achieve that, it would be cataclysmically bad for the region, be really bad for our friend and ally Israel, and present enormous risk to the United States as well.
Mike, when he says, Raisi even said he's not going to enter in negotiations with Biden, he's not going to talk with Biden. How does that communicate good intentions?
Well, this is a regime that is stubborn and is a theocratic, revolutionary regime. For the Biden administration to believe that they could lift sanctions, hand them a bunch of money, begin constructive engagement, and change the nature of the regime is farcical. They're not going to change. They have been moving rightward for the last 20 years. These are deeply committed revolutionaries, and protection of the revolution is what they will achieve at all costs. I don't understand how you can travel to Vienna and negotiate with someone like Raisi and his henchmen, how you can negotiate with a regime that provided weapon systems to Hamas, that launched rockets into Israel. But these are things that are, to ordinary Americans all across the country, make no sense whatsoever. And as a matter of national security policy, make even less sense.
Mr. Secretary, up against a break. Stick around. We're coming right back with more after this. Folks, stay with us. We're going to continue our conversation. What other trip to Israel can you take that combines walking where Jesus walked with meeting today's Israeli leaders? This is Tony Perkins, President of Family Research Council, inviting you to spend an incredible 9 days in Israel during the Easter season with Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, myself, and others from April the 5th through April the 15th. You'll discover the roots of your faith and learn from experts about the geopolitical landscape of the region. For more information, visit TonyPerkins.com or call 844-872-5155. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Joining me, former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. Mr. Former Secretary, thanks for sticking around. I want to switch gears from Iran, which is obviously a big topic, very concerning, back to Russia, with the president having the meeting, President Biden having a meeting with President Vladimir Putin last week. And I want to play a very quick clip of a conversation, Chris Wallace asking Jake Sullivan, National Security Advisor, about the meeting last week with Putin.
In the summit, just to take one quick example, President Biden said, here are 16 areas of critical infrastructure I don't want you to attack, which seemed to imply, well, if you attack the 17th area of critical infrastructure, that's okay. Why didn't Biden say to Putin, look, no more cyber attacks, period, or you're going to face the consequences?
So first of all, it's pretty extraordinary to hear Donald Trump's Secretary of State talking about weakness in the face of Vladimir Putin when we all saw what happened in Helsinki. And the summit in Geneva was a study in contrast to what happened in Helsinki. Privately in the room, President Biden communicated to President Putin that there would be costs and consequences if harmful activities against the United States continued. Publicly in his press conference, he not only spoke out about that quite directly, mincing no words, but he also spoke about American values, something the last president never talked about.
Mr. Secretary, your response?
Well, the summits were very different, but summits are one thing, actions are another. Tony, you know this. Rhetoric only matters to the extent you're communicating a policy that demonstrates American strength and American resolve. And we always did that. Look at the actions that we took with respect to protecting America from the malign activity of Russians. I'd compare them to what the Biden administration's done and tell you that we've been much stronger. And I hope they'll get there. I want them to be successful. But to your point, he didn't answer the question that Mr. Wallace asked him. It was asked about the cyber threats, and President Biden said, hey, here's the target list, 16 things that you can't come after that really matter an awful lot to us. This is music to the ears of a former KGB agent. And I think they watched a president who wasn't prepared to respond forcefully in the very way that the Trump administration always did with respect to Russia, ranging from building up our military to providing defensive weapon systems for the Ukrainians. We spoke out on behalf of the Orthodox Church, which annoyed the Russians no end. All of these things were demonstrations of America's commitment to make sure that we secured America from the threats that Russia posed to us. I hope this administration will match those and exceed them.
When you look at what's happening off the coast of Hawaii, where Russia is engaged in the largest war game since the Cold War, it would suggest to me that they are trying the resolve of the Biden administration.
You'll recall, Tony, at the beginning of the administration, they did a similar thing in the western part of Russia as well, a massive troop force buildup there as well. I think the cyber attack on the Colonial Pipeline, too, and the Russian government's response to that saying, hey, not me, we don't control this. I think those are all things that are testing this administration. They've had two big successes already. They tested the administration on nuclear stability talks. Biden caved and gave them the New START treaty extension in exchange for nothing. They said, we're going to finish our pipeline, our Russian pipeline. The administration said, fine, we'll lift the sanctions on senior officials that are close to Vladimir Putin so that you can finish your darn pipeline. I think they've seen that pushing this administration around is possible. I hope, I really do. There's no evidence of it yet, but I do hope that this administration gets this right. It's really important for each and every one of us.
Well, and I agree, and I thank you for your time, Mr. Secretary. And I would say this one point about everything I saw from the Trump administration, yourself included, American values always factored into the American First policy. And I'll just say one area is in the area of religious freedom that I know a little bit about. That was a key part of many, many summits that the Trump administration had with some of these foreign tyrants. So I think the record needs to be set straight on that one.
I appreciate that. It was always a priority for me and for my team to make sure that we did everything we could to expand the range of individual human beings who have their own dignity because they are made in the image of God, had an expanded capacity to worship in the way they saw fit. We made progress. There obviously, Tony, remains an awful lot of work to do, but it was a real priority for us.
Mike Pompeo, as always, great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining
Thank
us today. All right.
Former
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. I would just add this on Russia. The country of Russia under Putin is moving aggressively in the wrong direction. And to see us playing soft with them is concerning. We are moving in the wrong direction as it pertains to Russia. Of course, that's in keeping with a lot of the foreign policy approaches of the Biden administration. All right, folks, don't go away. We're going to talk more somewhat foreign policy, but we're going to be joined next by Senator Tom Cotton. He's going to be here. We're going to discuss his outreach to members of the military who in mass numbers are reporting on what's happening inside the military with this critical race theory and this wokeism that is running rampant in our nation's military. So don't go away. A lot more Washington Watch to come right after this.
It is important for God's children to spend time with Him in His Word, but it can be difficult to know where to start. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. That is why Family Research Council offers their Stand on the Word Bible reading plan. Read the Bible daily so you can be transformed by God's Word. Sign up today at frc.org/Bible.
Back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, tonyperkins.com. And let me remind you, information there about next week's school board boot camp. You want to run for the school board? Look, that is the cultural battleground of today with what is happening, the indoctrination that is really on steroids under the Biden administration. Go to tonyperkins.com, follow the links over. Hope you can join us. Also, between now and June 30th, we're coming up to the end of our fiscal year, and we need you to stand with us. This program and the underlying organization, Family Research Council, the mothership, we take no federal money, no government money, period. We're here because of folks like you across the country. We've got team members standing by to take your call. We have a match. Every dollar you give will be matched right now. Call us, 800-225-4008. That's 800-225-4008. Or you can donate online at tonyperkins.com. Late last month, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas and Congressman Dan Crenshaw of Texas launched a campaign encouraging military members to reach out to them if they're, quote, being taught that the military is a systematically racist institution, that America is a fundamentally racist country, or that any race of Americans is inherently an oppressor or victim, end quote. Well, we're beginning to find out more firsthand just how prevalent this is. Earlier today, during a Senate Armed Services Committee, Senator Cotton gives a sampling of what's included in the reading list that the Admiral, the Chief of Navy Operations, Admiral Michael Gilday, is promoting to sailors. Watch this.
It's a criticism of your decision to include these books on your professional reading list, which ensigns and sailors across your service take very seriously. So I just want to give you a sampling of some of the things that are included in books like this, that the notion that capitalism is essentially racist and racism is essentially capitalist, that the only remedy for past discrimination is present discrimination, the only remedy for present discrimination is future discrimination, that some individuals, by virtue of his or her race, are inherently oppressive or privileged, while others are victimized or oppressed.
Joining me now from Capitol Hill, Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. Senator, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Tony. Thanks for having me back on.
I watched the exchange between you and Admiral Gilday today, and quite frankly, was shocked that he would have these books on his reading list. And then when you specifically asked him if he thought capitalism was racist, he refused to answer the question twice.
Yeah, Tony, it was a disappointing exchange. Admiral Gilday had a similar exchange last week with the House Armed Services Committee, and we discussed it on the phone as well. He's very dug in on his bad decision to include these books by charlatans on critical race theory on his professional reading list. It would have been better for him, when this was first brought to his attention, simply confess error and acknowledge the reality that it was probably some clueless colonel who recommended these books in the first place. But they really have no business being on a service chief's reading list. Those reading lists should be focused on teaching young officers and young troopers how to lead, how to perform their craft well, how to learn from the history and biographies of those that went before them. They should be focused on teaching about how to win real wars, not culture wars.
Well, I thought you made an extremely poignant illustration when you went through a litany of naval problems within the Navy. One in particular you pointed to was a few years back under the Biden, under the Obama administration, when a Navy vessel was captured by basically an Iranian speedboat. They surrendered to them, and part of the problem back then was the training that had nothing to do with military training, everything to do with diversity, everything to do with the sexual components that the Obama administration put on it. But it's even worse today. And I think through your outreach, you're hearing that from members of the military.
I am, Tony. Congressman Crenshaw and I have opened up a line of communication for our service members in any rank to anonymously and confidentially submit stories we've heard. It's very alarming what we've seen from frontline unit training to the service academies, to our professional military schools, like the war colleges, for instance. It's not just about matters on race and gender theories, but we hear stories of majors and colonels having to sit through classes on climate change, when they should, again, be focused on tactical and operational excellence and developing leadership skills. These are all things that, at a minimum, waste a lot of time for our young and mid-career troopers, but also probably undermine morale and unit cohesion and integrity by teaching them that the most important thing about each other is not who they are as an individual or the fact that they all raised their hand, took an oath to our Constitution and to defend it and to fight for the man and woman on the right or left, but rather it's their race. And I suspect that China and Russia, if they wanted to try to undermine unit morale and unit cohesion, would probably not think of a much better strategy than assigning books like Ibram Kendi's writings, which are openly calling for racially discriminatory policies by governments at all levels.
Senator Cotton, I'm certain that the level of correspondence that I've gotten from members of the military pales in comparison to what you have gotten, because I've not intentionally reached out. But I do have a lot of military members that listen to this program, and I get email correspondence. You talk about morale. One of the things that I've seen and read from those members is that many of them who have the time are going to get out. They're wanting to exit the military. I have to believe that this type of focus in our military is going to hurt retention and, I would think, hurt recruiting.
Yeah, I don't think there's much doubt about that, Tony. We've heard that directly from service members. We heard from one person who said that he was tired of these indoctrination sessions and he didn't think he was going to be able to get ahead in a military that's so focused on these issues, as opposed to tactical and operational excellence, and he planned to leave when his enlistment contract was up. We heard from another officer who had a young woman who said that she did not realize the Air Force was such a racist institution when she enlisted, and she never would have enlisted if that was the case. These are the kind of things that kind of silently corrode morale and cohesion, and ultimately get back to points you raised, retaining our best people and recruiting the best people as well.
Senator Cotton, I want to address a remedy because, there's a lot of problems in the Biden administration, and given the current makeup of Congress, there's very little we can do. But you have put something on the table that actually we used back during the Obama years to remind these officers that, look, you're there in our nation's military and you're supposed to be beyond politics. But each one of those general officers, once they hit those one and two stars, they got to come before the Senate to have that promotion confirmed. And so you, as a senator, you guys play a role in whether or not these men and women have what it takes to truly lead a military that can defend this country.
Yeah, Tony, we get thousands, like tens of thousands of military promotions every year in front of the Armed Services Committee in the Senate, down to lieutenants. It is just a matter of course to voice those out in blocks of hundreds or thousands from the committee and then do the same thing on the Senate floor. We don't have to do that, though. Now, I'm not talking about holding up nominations for lieutenants to become captains, but, you know, there are not that many generals in our military, and it wouldn't be that hard to scrutinize their commands and to see whether or not they permitted or even encouraged these kind of quasi-struggle sessions in their command. And that may be something that we have to start considering if the Department of Defense doesn't take this seriously. Now, some of this is I think it's good just that you're talking about it, that I'm highlighting these hearings, that we have this whistleblower site, because it shines a lot of sunlight on the problem. And a lot of these commanders probably don't want the political controversy, and they'd be happy to fight, again, to focus on fighting real wars as opposed to being enlisted in culture wars by the Democrats in charge of the Department of Defense and at the White House. So I hope that just the sunlight itself will help solve the problem. But if it doesn't, we may need to take further action.
So outside the military, those who are concerned about national security, that are concerned about the direction they see our military going, knowing that oftentimes it's a vanguard to the culture, what can they do at this point?
You know, in the lead-in, Tony, I heard you talking about your school board boot camp. I think that is a great initiative. And over the last few months, I have been encouraging more and more Arkansans, and when I travel the country, more Americans to get involved in local school board races. These are grassroots politics at their best. At most, maybe a few yard signs and a few Google ads, Facebook pages. This is people acting in their community in the best interests of their children, the best interests of our country. And if you have concerns about what your children are learning, or you have concerns if you're an empty nester, you haven't had kids yet, about what your school is teaching the future of your community and the future of our country, I would encourage all of your listeners to think about a run for school board.
Yeah, absolutely, because I think what we're seeing, the fertile soil for the leftist agenda in the military was prepared in our public schools a decade or so ago. Senator Tom Cotton, always great to talk with you. Thanks so much for joining us, and we'll encourage the men and women who serve in our nation's military that have seen these things up front and personal to reach out to your website and get that information to you.
Thank you, Tony.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us, and I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.